a keg of beer.
All I hear is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
It's butt cold out here, and I'm fresh out of beer.
I'm back! You can rally!
That's cute. I remember when I had my first beer.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
Not to indulge in any alcohol, drugs, sex after 12, or any other illegal activity.
I had a beer with the old biker man at the end of the street, and he let me touch his old lady's titty.
Good man. You set him up and I'll knock him back, Lloyd. One by one.
Pack your ass, my good man. Time to kick back, drink some beers, and smoke some weed.
When I was your age, my dad shared a beer with me, and I thought it was not the best thing in the world.
And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey, everybody, it's The Voice, and I am back on the couch for yet another fun-filled edition of Drunk at the Movies, brought to you by Iron Spike Brewing Company in Galesburg, Illinois. This week, I've got one returning guest and one newbie, but she's at least familiar with both of us, so it's not like I just drug a complete stranger off the streets, although that could make for an interesting episode. Note to self. Ever desperate for guests, just grab drifters off the street.
Get them drunk.
Yeah. I mean, that can't go wrong, right? So anyway, joining me, you heard him last time when we went down the rabbit hole with Mr. Raoul Duke and did a little Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. But Zach is not with us. It is our good friend, Seth Bennett. Welcome back to the couch.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me back.
And this time, when we did Fear and Loathing, we shot some ideas and talked about other future episodes we could do. And he mentioned that his lovely better half, Sarah, another old friend of mine from the high school days, was a big fan of this movie. So we had to have them on as a couple. So welcome, Sarah, for your first appearance on Drunk at the Movies.
Thank you.
Hopefully, you won't be completely disgusted by what commences over the next 90 minutes, and you'll want to come back. I know you'll be fine.
I think so, yeah. So. Getting drunk and watching movies has been a thing of mine for a little while.
Exactly. It's what we do. So, what we're watching this week from 1986, or maybe is it 1978?
Ooh.
Who's to say? But we are watching Flight of the Navigator, the Disney movie, sci-fi fantasy. Before there was A Wrinkle in Time, there was Flight of the Navigator. I don't even know what A Wrinkle in Time is about. Never read the book.
Also about time travel. So
I just know Oprah's in it.
That's why it's relevant.
Yeah, it was part of her book club.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you own a copy of Flight of the Navigator, which if you're any true 80s kid, you should. If not, go buy it, hit pause, do your thing, go to Amazon Prime, get that two-day shipping, and watch it along with us, and hit play in 3, 2, 1. All right, so here we go. We got the classic, I like the little, you know, dirty film pops and cracks you got there. This shows you how old this movie is.
You get to see the grain of film stock.
Yeah, you don't get that anymore.
Wrinkle of Time won't have that.
Yeah. Damn wrinkles.
Like that opening shot was very Groundhog Day. For a second, I thought we were watching Groundhog Day.
No, we already watched Groundhog Day on Groundhog Day.
That's a good time for it.
Yeah. So here we go. Flight of the Navigator. I don't know when exactly this came onto my radar because I didn't have the Disney Channel. I think this was probably something I saw on video. I'm going to say a good year or so after it came out.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that I think my parents just saw the VHS and were like, oh, well, it's Disney, we'll go ahead and get it. And
yeah,
we watched it over and over. This is one of those things that I saw so many times as a kid that I could just start reciting it now.
And yeah. Who knew that these opening credits would inspire the Air Bud series? we have a dog frisbee competition. That dog is too That's little adorable. To be in this competition.
This is also the inspiration for frisbee golf.
Yes, with dogs. I think Mark Silvestri is doing the music for this.
Alan Silvestri.
Mark Silvestri is a comic
artist. That's what I thought. I was like, they're related.
He's a Renaissance man. Nope. Founder of Image Comics and also composer for Flight of the Navigator.
I wonder if this inspired the slow motion shots of dogs catching treats. It's very popular online right now.
Could be. It just seems like it's going on for a long time.
Oh, though. It goes on for
like what does such this have to time. Do with the movie? They're nothing. Like, we set up really
at the frisbee dog competition, and we're keeping all the footage. Yes. God damn it!
Yeah,
all based on the premise of psyching the audience out with a silver frisbee to look like a flying saucer.
Mm-hmm. And does the silver frisbee ever? Does a dog?
No, I don't think so.
It was just that opening shot. That was pretty much it.
No dog ever catches the flying silver frisbee.
So if this is based on a story by Mark H. Baker, not Mark Lynn Baker, and you may have noticed some familiar names in the credits, such as Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes,
one of her early movies.
With purple hair. I remember, and a spoiler alert, she will have purple hair later on.
We'll, I'm sure talk ad nauseum about that once she pops up. Randall, the director here, he's of note because he directed, I believe, Grease.
He
also directed, there's a couple other big movies in his canon. But here we go. There's our introduction to
Joey Kramer.
Yeah. Who, not the kid from E.T., Henry Thomas, who, as a child, I got these two confused.
A lot of people did. I had to be the one to point out to my friends that the kid from E.T. is not the kid from Flight of the Navigator. Yeah.
Hence why one of you is drinking out of an E.T. glass tonight.
Yeah, I believe I heard that or read that Joey Kramer was one of those unfortunate child actors whose life took
a
series.
Yeah, I did a little research while we're watching the winner of the 1978 South Florida Frisbee Dog competition there. And he robbed a bank in Canada.
Oh. I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, doing some time. He had some previous arrests and not going so well. You can find his mugshot online. Just look up Joey Kramer now. You may see his inmate listing. You may write him a note, but I just know he won't be getting tagged on Twitter when this comes out. Sorry. Now, the dad, he is a familiar-looking guy. And the reason why, I don't know if you've seen The Craft, but he was in The Craft. He played Mr. Bailey. His name's Cliff DeYoung. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Usually playing dads or teachers, I believe.
Yeah. You know, he found his role, stuck with it, and obviously it's worked out okay for him because he's still acting, 30 years later. One of the other listings on here, which I found was interesting, is he's in a movie that was suggested by a listener that we should watch at some point, the sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, Static Shock.
He plays Brad.
Oh, okay.
He took over for, was it Bruce?
Bruce Boltzowit?
Yeah, something, however you pronounce his last name. He was in that movie, so that's Cliff DeYoung, everybody.
Now, the mom here is looking very familiar, and I just realized that anyone watching might recognize her from the crew of the Nostromo.
Alien.
Alien, yep. Yes. She was there when the alien popped out of, what's-his-name's chest? John Hurt.
John Hurt, the war doctor, for all you Whovians out there. We are big Doctor Who fans in this house, but yeah, she's another one that has been doing tons of character roles over the years. A little, TV work here and there where she'll have a run. She did 3 episodes on 6 Feet Under, a fantastic series that I was a huge fan of. And apparently she was in Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Really?
She must have been a kid.
Seriously.
Because that movie is old.
What was it, like 67 or something? The Birds?
I believe it was 59. I think it was the year before Psycho.
Wow.
63.
Oh, it was after Psycho.
She did a Twilight Zone in 62. Yeah, she did Alfred Hitchcock Presents 2 episodes, so she did a lot of acting as a kid, apparently. Leave It to Beaver, she was on 4 episodes. Who'd have thunk it?
I used to confuse her with Alice and Janie. They have very similar
Now Academy
looks.
Award winner.
Yes, yay! Now Academy. Let's drink to that. I will drink to
Cheers.
Alice and Janie's award.
I have not seen I, Tonya. It did not play in Peoria quite long enough for me to be able to check it out.
I didn't care for the movie.
Okay.
Her award was very deserved.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was rooting, admittedly, for Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird.
Yeah.
She was really good in that. And
yes.
Honestly, when has Laurie Metcalf ever been nominated for an award of that
right.
caliber? I know Roseanne's coming back, so maybe she'll get a supporting actress for the Emmys or something, but...
Yeah, I was rooting for the both of them. I was going to be happy with either of those Academy Award wins.
And we can talk very up-to-date on this show because we're literally recording it a mere 12 hours from when it's being released. So we're as topical as can be. So he's going for a walk.
On the other side of the tracks. Yeah. He's looking for his brother, I believe.
That's part of the problem. He crossed the tracks.
Yeah.
Macho Man. Oh, yeah! I'm afraid, Davey.
Slim Jim suddenly sponsors the movie.
Like, what is this lighting, by the way?
Tales from the Dark Side lighting.
Yeah.
Something bad's gonna happen. That's what it is. To the dog.
I swear to God, whenever I see, like, goalies in forests... I think of this movie.
Goalies? Like hockey players?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd be... Well, I mean, when you see... Usually it's Jason, and the kids are dying, so yeah.
Woods and goalies usually like a hockey mask, but... Yeah, when you see woods and this, like, little ditch drop-off, I
ditch,
always think
any
the same
riverbed,
thing.
I think of this movie. That's uh-huh. how embedded in my mind it is.
Is he having an existential crisis right now? He just said, I don't know what I want out of life anymore. How old is he?
I love when they script kids like that.
He's got to be, I would guess, 12?
12, yeah. Yeah, he's in junior high and has a crush on Jennifer Bradley, so I'm guessing, yeah, 12. That's when we all have crushes on Jennifer Bradley, right? That's a very common middle school crush name.
I had a crush on Jennifer Bradley in junior high, that's for sure.
I don't know the bitch. So, he said barks. I didn't hear him bark, did you?
These subtitles.
Oh, I've got a gun.
I've got a gun.
You can't say that anymore as a 12-year-old.
You know, if I were somebody lurking in the woods, I would definitely be freaked out by a kid saying,
yeah.
Get back, Jack. I've got a gun.
The times have changed. I'm waiting for Fuzz Bucket to pop out right now. You guys familiar with that, Joe? Uh-uh. And that's a made-for-TV Disney movie. It was actually a failed pilot. Oh, there he is. He looks like Fish Face from Full House. Oh, there's the train. And the kids from Stand By Me are running as fast as they can right now off the bridge.
I feel like this entire movie was the inspiration for all of Stranger Things.
I like how that dog's name is Bruiser. Like that dog, yeah, that dog looks like a bruiser.
I still haven't finished season 2 of Stranger Things yet. Uh-oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
And he's out. There goes the train.
All right.
And then we have an edit.
A jump cut to signify the passing of 12 years, apparently, or 8 years, whatever it's supposed to be. Was it 8 years?
The smoke cleared. But yeah, we don't know this yet.
Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing.
That was just the director's way of letting us know that something
right.
important
something
happened.
Something happened.
All it takes is
where
a
the hell's
cut.
The dog? And you brought over this Goose Island brassiere noir, which means it's a French bra. And it's pretty good.
It's not too different from Bourbon County, in my opinion.
No. It's a little, style, a little smoother.
Aged in, you know, a different barrel, obviously.
Yeah. And then I've got, I now have a all-day IPA. Well, who are you? Oh, wait. Why are you wearing clothes like that?
Where's our mom?
Mom, you turned into one of the Golden Girls.
Lost. Feels bland. She tried to fuck him right now. How old are you, baby?
Let me see an ID.
Mom? Dad?
Okay. You can tell that it's serious because she dropped something.
Right.
And she, I like that though. I like the full wall of bookcases. These are learned people. And apparently, he's inspired by Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
In his smoking jacket. Come back, little boy.
Hef, the Smallville years.
Nobody's going to hurt you.
Okay.
What's your name?
That's creepy.
Yeah.
It's like Clockwork Orange.
This is, like, really scary for Disney. A kid trapped in the stairs between two old people in Florida.
Well, originally, this wasn't even a Disney production.
Oh, really?
It was self-financed by a company. Well, I guess, like, three-quarters of the way financed. And they... It was some company from Norway that were investors. So part of the movie is filmed in Norway at some point. I believe the stuff with the ships.
Okay.
And then a lot of it was filmed in Florida and whatnot. And then Disney got involved after the script and everything had been written.
Huh.
So originally it was just some Canadian production company. Because this kid is Canadian. If he'd been American, maybe he would have turned out better. But we'll never know. So wearing a blue polo shirt with white stripes. He's wearing the same clothes exactly as they're describing them. So this is one of those mid-80s movies that involves, in a way, time travel. Hence why it was one of my favorites. Because Back to the Future came out in 1985. This came out in 1986. You're drinking out of a Back to the Future glass.
I am.
I have no less than three Back to the Future themed glasses in the... Drunken Lullabies drinking ware collection. I have Back to the Future 1, 2, and Biff's Casino. I have a pint glass of that.
Nice.
Oh, 4. We have a Cafe 80s one as well. I don't own one for 3. I wasn't that big of a fan of 3.
Elijah Wood's first major speaking role with Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah.
In the Cafe 80s.
That is true.
Not a fan of 3,
was
huh?
Tobey Maguire also in that scene? Or am I thinking a different movie where
he plays... Fear and Loathing?
Yeah, no. But he is in another movie where he's like a background kid. And it's like, oh shit, it's emo Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So.
I really wish Joey Kramer would have done more because he...
He literally kind of dropped off after this. If you go to IMDb, it's a black and white photo from around this era.
I wonder if Henry Thomas ruined Joey Kramer's career.
Probably, because what's weird is I looked at his mugshot, I'm like, wow, he looks even more like Henry Thomas right now. The last credit on his IMDb, after this, he did 2 episodes of Murder, She Wrote. He did a TV movie called Stone Fox with Buddy Ebsen, and he played Willie. And then he had an uncredited role as a party guest in It's My Party. So I'm sure there was a lot of guests, but he was in the background there somewhere. And that was in 1996. Nothing since. Only 7 credits to his name. How many arrests does he have? Probably close to that as well. So, it's unfortunate. He got nominated for 1 award. In 1987, he was a nominee for the Saturn Award for the best performance of a young actor. I have no idea why a car company is giving out awards to child actors, But hey, at least they're appreciative of the arts.
So now we have NASA.
Now it's turning into E.T.
Yeah.
Dr. Faraday.
From Lost. Are you my constant? Anybody get that reference? That's another time jumpy series. So.
But isn't Faraday the scientist who discovered magnetic fields or something?
That's why the character in Lost was named named after him. So it's probably a similar situation here. I just love
it when they do scientist names like that.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Mr. Tesla. But we have Howard Hessman here. I knew him from Head of the Class. He was the ponytailed teacher to a bunch of ragtag high school outcasts.
Oh my god, I forgot about that show.
It was 80s Welcome Back Cotter.
Yeah, it was, and I loved Welcome Back Cotter in reruns. I have at least the first season on DVD. Big fan of the Sweat Hogs. But yeah, Head of the Class, I enjoyed. Brian Roberts, I think, is the one who probably did really well from that. He became a director. He was like the kind of outsider, outcast in the corner with Dennis Blundin.
The kind of rivet head kid, the long hair.
Yeah,
the leather jacket.
Yes. He's now a film director. And then he had Arvid Ingand, Robin Givens, who married Mike Tyson, Rain Pryor, daughter of Richard Pryor. And then there were some other people, but I can't remember them at this point. There's a lot going on right now.
And then Hess was
by Billy Connolly.
Yeah, and I think it was because he wasn't getting along with the rest of the cast.
Really?
If I remember correctly, and I heard this when I was, nine, when the show was on, that he was getting jealous when the teenagers were getting more roles or more episodes.
Okay. I was in WKRP in Cincinnati.
Exactly.
And they're like, what? So here we go. This is going to be the big reveal here. This is your little older brother. Jeffrey. What? Mr. and Mrs. Freeman? They want to know where he's been all this time. Sure. He's been sleeping in the woods.
I feel like a cross in a hospital room is just very unsettling.
I'm just waiting for him to become possessed.
Yeah.
The power of Christ compels you!
Bed starts shaking.
Yeah.
Why did they have to leave for him to see his brother? I feel like if I was the mom, I would never leave.
Yeah. Kid just disappears for 8 years, shows up the exact same.
Now, do you guys
walk away from him again?
Do you guys know who this is? It's not Skippy from Family Ties, but it's somebody who's going to be featured in another upcoming episode.
But that silhouette, I'm saying Eddie Deason.
I'm sorry for scaring you like that.
He doesn't wear glasses in the other movie, but he is the shy, timid friend of Scott Howard in Teen Wolf.
Okay.
He's the one who gets creeped out.
He's the one who...
I believe his name is Lewis. He gets scared when Marty McFly turns into a werewolf.
Yeah, Stiles wants... him to go and try to buy the keg before he gets Howard to do it.
Yep. So we have a missing poster here, which is honestly a horrible job. They really should have spruced that thing up a little bit better.
See, I'm actually getting a really young Henry Rollins vibe right now from this guy. Like before he started working out and got angry with McDonald's.
TV party. So they all thought he was dead. But now you're back, and it's...
What if Chloe's like, Mom and Dad went nuts. Like, it was weird. Like, I can't believe Mom and Dad cared that you were gone. I was like, get over it.
It's 1980. I'm still here, Mom.
Yeah. It was kind of annoying, right?
So, like, I get his stuff, right?
Yeah.
Bucket. All right.
Finishing each other's buckets.
You guys are such a pair. And those are real tears. Maybe.
If I was the mom, I swear to fucking God, I'd be like, I don't care. I'm staying in this room. I don't know what you're going to do about that, but I'm staying here.
She wasn't a helicopter parent before. She sure as hell is one now.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, look at that real tear.
Yeah, just the single one. That's why he got nominated for that Saturn Award.
And the other one came down. Yeah, it's like, see, Joey Kramer's career should have been kicking.
Now poor he's guy. Crying different tears these days. He's probably got tattooed ones.
It's terrible.
Do you know who I am? I fucking traveled in time when I was a kid. Befriended an alien.
Voiced by Paul Reubens.
No, voiced by Paul Mall. We'll get into that later. My brother was friends with a werewolf. I'm in my world, these all movies
they all exist together. In the same universe.
He just takes his glasses off when he goes to their high school. Oh, here we go. It's the ship. Now, I went to Disney World in my junior year. We haven't broken it to Jackson upstairs yet. Keeping it a surprise, but we're actually going to be going there this summer. And one of the things I was most looking forward to was I had heard that beautiful ship from my childhood was sitting on the back lot.
Shut up.
At MGM. And we took the back lot tour, and sure enough, I saw it. And it was all kind of rusted, like it was weather beaten, but it was there. And I was like, holy shit, it's the ship from Flight of the Navigator. And I believe if you do enough Google search, you can see some pictures of it at MGM. I don't know if it's still there, but I thought it was cool that I got to see that. I don't know if anybody else on that tour gave a shit, but I gave a shit.
Probably not. Okay, so when you're an adult and you mention this movie to other people, have they heard of it?
Yeah, funny you should ask. I did a quick little survey at work before I left today, because everybody knows I lead such an exciting and fun-filled existence outside of work, and they're always wanting to know what I'm up to. And I said, well, I'm doing a show tonight. You're in my age range. You're a child of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the movie Flight of the Navigator? It was a Disney movie. Dealt with time travel, and I'm just met with a blank stare.
Yeah.
And there were a couple younger guys. One was born in like 89, another one early 90s. But again, this movie was shown on the Disney Channel and stuff, and it exists on DVD. It could still be viewed. They had no idea what I was talking about either.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads me to believe, like, in my mind, I thought this was like a pretty big kids movie in the 80s, but maybe I'm just one of the few that really latched on to it, and it wasn't that big
of a
movie.
Maybe it was a thing for like 6 months. Like, what year were you born in? 80, 81?
81.
Okay, he's 80, I'm 82, so there must be like a year and a half spread there.
I'm like perhaps the very end of 80, so yeah,
yeah, it could exactly
be like right in like a year yeah, and a couple months.
But I mean, I was always baffled anytime I mentioned this to anyone as an adult. They were like, what? Which is why it was such a big thing for the two of us to go like, you watched Flight of the Navigator 18 million times as a kid too?
Yeah, it was pretty much like you two and my friend Josh are the only ones mm-hmm. who have ever seen this movie. And I thought, oh, that is fantastic. So we're looking right now at the picture
yeah.
that Dustin has taken and is showing us.
So yeah.
It looks like it was in like a dogfight in the Star Wars
universe. It's pretty universe. Pretty beaten
oh my
up.
God.
But it is there, at least when these photos were taken. But
so I've never
apparently
had
no,
any
there's
desire
like
to go there, but now
Star
I
Wars.
Go.
Oh, there's an eight.
And
yeah,
now it looks like it's been repainted. So mm-hmm. maybe people complained enough and they're like, oh, we should polish this turd and bring it up to code.
And I think really what this is indicative of is that we all have parents who weren't negligent of us as children because they gave us the opportunity to watch Flight of the Navigator over and over.
My guess
are those cotton balls
in
his hair?
VHS bargain bin somewhere. And my parents were like, yeah, I'll buy a movie for 50 cents.
All of our parents.
And then they couldn't
just
believe how much we watched it over and over again. Yeah.
Why is the one on his earlobe? Why has he got cotton balls on his earlobe?
That one's decorative. That's, yeah. He got a piercing.
He's communicating in binary code.
What? I have no
Well,
I didn't even know that was possible.
What does that even mean? Like, his brain?
It just sounds cool, Sarah. It's the 80s. It doesn't have to make sense as long as it sounds intelligent.
There's a lot of reversing of polarity. Is just outside.
Now we're in weird science realm of
what people actually
and
know.
This machine's going to come out of a bathroom door. There's going to be like 3D rendering of boobs and Albert Einstein next. Yeah. We forgot to hook up the doll. That's another future episode. That's actually the next John Hughes movie that will be featured. Hopefully Groucho and Daryl will be back on the couch very soon for us to do that one. And I can talk about another one of my 80s crushes.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, okay.
No, Kelly LeBrock. Wyatt's grandmother. She's frozen in the closet. She was hot.
I was always very freaked out by Chet becoming the turd monster.
Yeah, rest in peace, Bill Paxton.
Yeah, yeah.
David, what do you think?
Is he wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt? What is that?
I think he is.
Kind of looked like it.
I think it was a homemade silkscreen Led Zeppelin shirt.
His parents look like hippies. Or like former hippies.
Former hippies, yeah, definitely.
Yuppies, I guess.
Yeah.
They crossed the they crossed the line.
Didn't sell out, son. I bought in.
Yeah. I mean, I still wear a tie to work, but that punk rock kid, he's still inside me, fighting. Something. I'm not quite sure what at this point, but he's doing something. I'm still listening to the music. Actually, was working on a Spotify playlist today of the soundtrack of our high school years. All the hit songs and stuff that was popular, and then also just stuff that I really enjoyed from June of 1995, like right after 8th grade graduation, up until May of 99. Anything that came out summer 99, you're not on the list. I'm sorry. I was already thinking about community college at that point. So yeah, I was working on that because, I mean, shit, next year is our 20-year reunion. I don't think they do reunions, though.
I went to our 10-year.
I did not. I did not get 10-year.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone threatened.
Was that the one at Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, that's just every... that's every weekend at... Pekin.
Yeah, back really then, every weekend was like, is a high school reunion in the city. Man, this scene is giving me a real Cloak and Dagger vibe. For some reason.
Another past episode.
I know, I saw that you did it and I was like, man, that would have been a fun episode to do.
And it was weird because like the entire time I was watching, I was like, man, Joey Kramer is doing great in this movie. Just kidding, it's because it's Henry Thomas. And Dabney Coleman. Now that's a fun one. If you have not listened to the Cloak and Dagger episode, please go back in the archives and listen to it. It's so much fun talking about child homicide and just the absurdity of that movie that I watched nonstop as a kid.
I read an awesome theory that movie is a prequel to Fight Club, and that was actually his first experience.
Yeah, I kind of see where they're going with that.
Identity disorder.
He had a transformer there mint in box. I wonder how much that would be worth nowadays. So he sees the mirror there, and that's where Sarah Jessica Parker is going to be hiding when she watches him.
Right now she's creeping out at this very moment. Mm-hmm. We just don't know it yet.
You think it'd be the other way around. You enjoy yourself. That means masturbate.
Weird automatic sliding door.
Yeah, like in Star Wars. So we got a NASA hat, and there's lots of fun NASA swag. Did you ever want to go to space camp as a kid?
I didn't really know it existed until later in life.
Oh! I actually listened to this song today, because it was in the IMDb trivia that's what he was listening to. And I was like, oh, I need to listen to that song. Oh.
I used to want one of these when I was a kid.
Where are your pants, Carolyn? Oh, she's got... Okay. She's just walking in a lab coat with nothing on. That could take a weird turn for a Disney movie.
Yeah, this is actually just this kid's fantasy in his head right now.
Yeah, he's still laying in the woods. He's having a fever dream about a witch.
Remember when I watched this, I was like, so, wait, let me get this straight. You could wear, like, one small earring and one big earring? That's kind of the coolest thing I've ever heard of. This is blowing my mind.
I like how NASA has no dress code about it.
No, not at all.
They don't care about the purple hair, the one dangly earring.
Yeah.
Why isn't Starsky and Hutch
on? Top secret facility. Hey, that's still going on. Shape of Water. Just go wherever you want. Did you see that yet?
Oh, I saw it in the theaters, yes. Oh, look at that guy's knees. That is... Kids today haven't seen a music video before. My daughter has, though. I make her watch them on YouTube with me sometimes when I'm drinking. So we're now opening from Iron Spike, our sponsors. We got the Red Line, which is a red pale ale. So we're going to enjoy that while we keep enjoying the 80s nostalgia here.
Red pale ale and purple Sarah Jessica Parker hair.
Yep. Now, I'll be honest. Sarah Jessica Parker, nowadays, despite being married to Matthew Broderick, who at one point in time was the end-all be-all of coolness for me, thanks to Ferris Bueller.
But now do you feel differently?
Or? I do feel differently. I mean, sure, I know he accidentally killed a guy in his car,
but a lot of people have done that.
Sure. Rebecca Gayhart.
A lot of celebrities have gotten away with that.
He's had some hiccups in his career, but, you know, he's still doing work and stuff. But I wouldn't really consider her super attractive now. I know a lot of jokes get made on her behalf. Family Guy comes to mind. I think I remember Stewie feeding an apple to a horse, and they said something about Sarah Jessica Parker, which
must be great being Seth MacFarlane and being the most attractive person who ever lived.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. I have but a theory I think about she's, Sarah Jessica Parker.
She's cute and Hocus Pocus, and then she kind of fell off the radar, in my opinion. But back then, in this, I thought she was really cute. Square Pegs, she was nerdy. I don't think she was supposed to be.
Mm.
But, like, you know, it's the mid-80s, so the big hair and, like you said, the weird earrings and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, I was a young boy and just finding out girls aren't gross and stuff. And I think I was a little ahead of the curve on that because it's weird. I have an 8-year-old here at home. Doesn't seem interested at all. It's like, really? I had a girlfriend in kindergarten.
I was the same way, but it made me uncomfortable about this movie. The fact that I was attracted to girls, you know, my age when I was in kindergarten when this movie came out.
Sarah, were you uncomfortable when you were attracted to girls in kindergarten?
Well,
not
no.
At all. Not at all.
I wasn't. That didn't make me uncomfortable. It was the fact that she's flirting with this kid who's clearly like 8 years
but
younger than
not
her.
Not really.
It made me uncomfortable.
But not really.
She's flirting with him. She is.
But they'd kind of be the same age, right?
Oh, technically. Oh,
I mean,
okay.
All right, that's a stretch.
She's like.
She has a fetish. She has a very specific fetish for people who were held in space for
Benjamin
years
Button
and didn't
syndrome.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, finally.
It's like,
finally.
Yeah. Opposite
progeria. I've been
progeria.
Masturbating to someone who's my age but looks 8 years younger.
Yes. She just has turned on the people who stop aging all of a sudden. She likes this kid and Paul Rudd, and that's it. Those are her two crushes.
Paul Rudd is actually one of Brianna's crushes. And I'm like, I can see it.
That's it.
Funny guys always get laid.
Yeah.
And he's non-threatening, too.
He's Ant-Man.
Yeah. No, but
he's in jail, too.
Parker, she... Okay, so I hear a lot of men criticizing her appearance.
I think part of it is just if she hadn't done Sex in the City, she wouldn't get a lot of that.
That could be.
I think that kind of like... blew her up into a lot of overexposure.
That could be.
And
they're
like,
and
oh, my girlfriend
happens.
Watches that show. It's stupid.
Yeah. As soon as you get big, everybody hates you.
Yeah.
But I have a theory that women, that she, like, she's a fashion icon.
Are you
I don't
a
know
Carrie?
I'm not a Carrie. I'm not. I'm totally I don't not know a if, Carrie. I don't know if men know this, but she's a fashion icon. She is one of those women who dresses for women. You see her on the street or on a red carpet, and she's dressing for herself, and she's dressing for women. The way that she dresses in this very sort of feminine but experimental way, like, women are just like, that is so cool. And guys are like, why is that horse wearing a tutu? Like, I mean, yeah. Seriously.
I saw that episode of Mr. Ed. That was nuts.
I don't think
nuts.
Guys get her, you know? Yeah. And that's fine. But, like, women do. We get her.
Well, I got her back in 85 or 86. So, how far is it from Earth to Phalon? 560 light years.
That's nothing.
2.2 solar hours.
Speed theory.
And what's weird is the math checks out.
I'm not surprised. Oh, yeah?
The amount of time that he says he is gone, which I think is like, okay.
Only 4.4 hours
that he fell asleep in the woods. And it was 8 years. Somebody did the math, and it checks out to like 0.000001 less than the speed of light.
All right, that's impressive.
So they did their research.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm cool.
Like,
it's
a Disney movie. We could just whatever.
Because Star Trek even fails at that. Yeah. Half the time.
Oh gosh.
Well, now he's going
through. Star Wars did.
Oh, hey, yeah. There's Beetlejuice. I think I'm seeing a lot of the same stars though. These people looked very confused for people who work for NASA. Like,
they don't understand what these stars are. It's bad when NASA workers just throw up their arms and shrug and go, well, the computer's doing its own thing, so let's just watch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, they're playing the old Star Wars game.
Yeah.
The one at 8-bit.
You a big fan of 8-bit?
Hey, beer and free video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that work most of the time.
I tried to get Jason from 8-Bit to do this show. He came up with a brilliant idea to do The Notebook, and I was like, well, let's do it then. You're going to throw that idea out there. Let's do it. And he was like, I'm not much of a talker. I'm like, I see how it is. So we just give him shout-outs from time to time. But Jason, if you're listening, hopefully we can do something. I would prefer to do a video game-related movie. That would make more sense. Perhaps a Wreck-It Ralph. Would be good. It's on the list. Oh, he's
speaking
looking
of Ralph. That is the name of the little robot here.
So and, when did Alf
and speaking
air?
Of wrecking yeah. it, Sarah Jessica Parker wants to wreck it with David there.
That's so weird.
Yeah, he needs to comb his hair.
It's just I've seen the meal sheet for the coming week, and they've got you on it. Until when?
He's on the meal sheet? They're going to eat him?
How to cook humans.
This movie is like the perfect level of distressing for kids, though.
It is.
It honestly strikes like the perfect note where it's
not
scary,
nearly
not
as threatening
scary.
As Cloak and Dagger.
It's kind of the same level, but in a different way.
Right.
Like, I remember feeling emotional about him being trapped here. Like, in the last scene where all this stuff's coming out of his head, and he's like, just let me go, I don't know what's going on. Like, I was like, seriously, this poor kid, you know?
And this is why he's in prison now.
Yeah.
This was actually a documentary. Little did we know. What's he doing there? Oh, they couldn't.
They can't see.
No, because that eye is far enough away.
Yeah. Okay.
When they ask her about it, she'll just say that she had some kind of a weird muscle spasm.
Because you could have waited till
That's flirtation. Oh, that's weird.
It's creepy. Yeah. I would never
Can I touch,
touch
your
an 8-year-old like that. That I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, ugh.
Oh, I hope not.
Hey, I just got pubes.
Gross.
Okay. Bye.
For real, how old? She must be
he's like,
at least 18.
She don't
at least.
Get it.
She's got to be at
least
18.
10 years older than him.
Yeah,
disgusting.
She's not using a worker's permit. She can drive herself. NASA's not going to hire a high school kid.
Right.
She's either a college dropout.
And she was at a concert, so we can assume that she's drinking age. She's going to a concert worth going to.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't say she's 21. I would peg her between 18 and 19. But again, he's 12, but actually 20.
Not actually.
Look at that body. That's not the body of a 20-year-old.
Girl, look at that body. He works out.
Ew.
So what we're hearing is Seth, don't shave your chest and like atrophy.
Okay.
To the point of
he's allowed pre-cubes, to close pubescence. The curtain.
Yeah.
I remember right. thinking that when I was a kid. I was like, because they gave a shit about his personal privacy.
Oh, and he's hiding in Ralph.
Well, it's a good thing Ralph has this giant open container doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Or is that where the food is stored?
I think that's where the food is stored. Okay. But again, why do they need a robot that large just to put three trays of food at the most?
Why do they need a robot at all when Sarah Jessica Parker is usually living around with it?
Right, exactly.
She'd just be pushing a push cart.
But again, the 80s loved robots. We mentioned Space Camp, the actual... thing. There's a movie called Space Camp, which is on the list, which stars a young Leah Thompson and a young Kelly Preston. It's a tour de force. It has Joaquin Phoenix when his name was still Rain, and a robot named Jinx who sends them into space. And Tom Skerritt.
Oh, this music.
It's so 80s.
Perfect.
Yes. Good job, Mark Silvestri.
Alan Silvestri.
I think he did the music for Independence Day and he stuff. Did. Like, he's gone on to
He did Back to the Future. He's done Avengers. He's, Alan's career is
gone beyond this. Oh my god, that's who that 80s. Is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew that. It's
we all gotta start familiar. Somewhere.
Sure.
He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's worked with Robert Zemeckis a lot.
This music is perfect for a 1986 right. Disney sci-fi.
Exactly. Yeah, it really is. He knows what he's doing.
I love how like, it's just
I want that thing to start. I want Ralph to start doing donuts. And I like how they don't even bat an eye. Like, yeah, this weird robot car is just driving itself.
Hey, Ralph.
Because that's a thing. Who's controlling it?
Yeah.
Oh, mustache one's done. Mustache two is on the clock now.
It's a well-lit inside of a robot.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't they be able to see his eyes, like, searing out? Oh, and he just goes into, like, a, you know, a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, exactly.
Put on your hazmat suit, Davey.
He did not crawl out of that. He was just kneeling down.
Behind it.
Calling bullshit on that.
Also, dude, bend the bill of your hat. Like...
Why is it hazy in here? Just to recall the moment of his
Oh, scientists fall? Are big stoners.
Yeah, a lot of pot smoking going on in that ship.
Okay. They love space, Sarah. Think about it.
Hey, it looks like a giant clam. Let's clam big.
Dude, that kid, like, 4 hours, but he's gone for years. Like,
time is
do you want to listen to Wharf Rat? Like, I'm so baked.
Anybody got any Beach Boys?
That looks like the album cover of Journey Frontiers.
Radiation.
What would that be?
I feel like that would be on the door, not outside the plastic. Right.
They build a chain link fence because that keeps radiation out in the 80s.
Yeah.
Everybody had a chain link fence back then, and that was why, because of the Cold War.
That's true.
President Reagan told us, hey, Mr. Gorbachev, we have chain link. We will be safe from your nuclear assaults.
Tear down that fence.
I loved it then, and I love it now. I think the design of the ship holds up.
Yeah, I agree.
They had two different versions. This is the lighter one that they needed for the floaty scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a much heavier one that was for all the interior shots that they did. So, yeah, I'm not sure which one... That's obviously computer animated.
Love it.
But you've got some weird Terminator 2 steps that just shoot out there.
So cool. With a vaguely Superman insignia on the stair.
Yeah, right. Totally.
Yeah, get in there, Jor-El. There's actually... There's somebody that I saw recently at work, and his name was Jor-El. And I was like, I wonder if he's named after Superman's dad.
That makes me happy.
But he's a black gentleman, like, so I'm not sure if that's what his parents were going for. But I want to ask, like, your parents a big Marlon Brando fan? Like, you know.
Just Superman.
Do you have a brother named Kal-El? You know? Is your dog named Crypto? Cool name. But yeah, it's J-O-R-E-L. Jor-El. Nobody else got that reference. So I was like... maybe I'll ask him. But this is the inside of the ship.
Honestly, I love it. I think it's great set design.
It's great.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. I don't know who designed it production company-wise, but they did a pretty good job. Because this looks alien.
It does. You're right. It has a real Superman, and not just the insignia outline, but like a Brainiac kind of feel. Like, I could totally see. DC, you should go back and watch this and ramp up your
universe. Yeah, you want to know why Marvel movies are doing better?
Because they watch Flight of the Navigator.
Exactly. Clearly. Well, we're going to keep things cracking here. Now from Sun King in Indianapolis, this is the SKB IPA, which means Sun King Brewery IPA. And they are now available in the area. Before, I would have to go to Indianapolis to get their beer. And now I can go to Broadway Liquors in Pekin and get it. And I am stoked about that. Oh, here we go. So this is actually Belgian and Portuguese, I believe.
Huh.
And that's what he says, is like, sit down and hello and stuff. Yeah.
I thought I heard pig Latin, but I wasn't listening carefully.
Yeah. I thought it was Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Ooh, got that cheeky rose holo.
All right. So, as you listen here, you're like, who's that voice? Sounds maybe kind of familiar. That is obvious. But not totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's credited to somebody named Paul Mall. They own a cigarette company. But apparently, that is a pseudonym for one Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman. He had his own big popular movie, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, that came out not too long after this. Tim Burton directed that. Tim Burton had ties to Disney. Kind of all goes together, I guess. We haven't done Pee-wee Drunk at the Movies yet. That is an episode Brianna will not be involved in, I can assure you that.
Is she afraid of the movie?
Pee-wee Herman creeps her the fuck out.
Okay.
So I'll be...
I think Sarah's in a similar boat, the way she's...
Yeah. Well, we definitely won't watch any of my box set of Pee-wee's Playhouse after we have finished this movie. But Paul Rubens is the voice of the spaceship.
Of Max.
And he wanted the alien voice to be a mystery. And it was his idea to have it build to nom de plume or whatever, you know. Stephen King's got Richard Bachman. Paul Rubens has Paul Mall.
And yeah, I think great choice on his part. Pretty much any idea Paul Rubin, if you see a movie that Paul Rubin is involved in and something good happens, it was probably his idea.
Oh, you can see through the ship.
Those aren't aliens. They're human beings.
That would have been a typical 80s stupid line to say, but Flight of the Navigator doesn't go for that.
This is a legitimately good movie.
It is.
We rewatched this like 5 years ago, and we were amazed how well it held up.
Now, we're going to have a drinking game for the rest of the movie.
Okay.
Every time the word compliance is said... all you listeners at home, there we go. There's the first compliance. So all you drunkomaniacs, be compliant, and you drink when we drink.
All right, let me know if I miss any compliances.
Oh, we will make sure. the ship is chained. I can't tell what those blocks weigh.
The huge blocks of cheddar.
I think it's, yeah, exactly. There's a really thick rind. We have so many guns drawn right now.
On a kid in a ship.
On a kid in a ship.
On a kid.
Compliance.
Yeah. I've moved on to the
red line. You are on the red line.
This is good.
Yeah.
Very refreshing.
Iron spikes up in Galesburg, not too far of a drive for anybody in the central Illinois area. Great restaurant, good food, and a pretty cool brewery in what used to be a firehouse. Fire pole still included in the building.
Are you allowed to slide down?
I don't think so, but they were like contractually obligated to keep it in the building when they like leased it or bought it out, I guess. So
yeah, this is good. It's pretty refreshing.
I figured a red might be a decent transition from the barrel aged stout.
Yeah.
You guys,
it's a crazy thing to start with.
Yeah, you're not hop heads like me, so I wasn't gonna push an IPA on you right away.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Here we go. The first sight of the ship floating, and that's the hot shot, you know, like her running up, grabbing the fence with the wind blowing through her hair. It's like, okay. There's stirrings. So we've talked about, you know, different stars of the 80s. Who are some of your, like, early crushes? I always find that interesting to talk to somebody who's my age that's on the flip side of the coin. Like, who were the male stars of the 80s? Where did that come from?
They were just hanging out in the hallway, and I thought I'd bring them in.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, so I don't even know what these are, but they were given to me.
It smells like amazing. Oreo.
Like Oreo churros?
This is Oreo amazing. Churros, that is
oh
what
my
those
gosh.
Are.
That's
so we
awesome.
Have... Churios. That works much better than Oreo churros.
That's what I was trying to say.
Because that just ends up being Oreos.
Or churros.
Yeah.
Sounds like you just went to the dentist.
Exactly.
The rural juror.
So, Seth, what we were talking about while you were getting these churios, one, how that's Sarah Jessica Parker's, like, this is me looking like a distressed damsel.
That shot of her going
like her
exactly.
Running to the fence. There was a longer one earlier where she like bounced to the
it's,
fence.
I remember.
Like,
it's the same as Elizabeth Shue running to Daniel at the end of Karate Kid.
Okay.
It's that kind of a shot that is cemented in one's subconsciousness as a young impressionable child. I was wanting to find out who Sarah's first 80s male crushes were. Because I don't get that kind of data as often, and I find it interesting to see who, you know, like on How I Met Your Mother, Lily had a big obsession with Ralph Macchio from The Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I'm sure some girls liked Michael J. Fox and stuff, but my girlfriend is... too young to have a lot of the same references as me, which I get a lot of grief over from my friends. It's all in good fun. But we don't have all the same. Our Venn diagram doesn't intersect as much.
So she doesn't get it when you say that you had a crush on Winona Ryder at an early age. Or
yeah,
is that one...
honestly, though, Winona really wasn't... Mm-mm,
okay.
No. Yeah, I know. You would think like the kind of guy I am. I don't know, like Edward Scissorhands, maybe,
but not so much Beetlejuice.
No,
okay,
maybe Heathers.
I could see Heathers.
But yeah.
So who was your? Oh wait, I interrupted.
Well,
yeah,
no,
so,
I might need
first.
A minute because I've never been one to crush too hard on celebrities, and as Joe knows, I'm not super qualified to even. Do like pop culture commentary because I was this weird person who just didn't really watch movies or television that much. So I'd have to take a minute. 80s, 90s, I can definitely think. 80s,
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to think.
Which is,
what
I think, why
I was
in
the 80s?
So surprised when I found out that you saw this movie so many times as a kid, because it was like, oh, really? Because I didn't know you watched it.
So we have a urination scene here.
Yeah.
A Disney movie.
I feel like he's flirting with the alien right now.
He's very confused.
I choose you.
And why wouldn't he be? A 21-year-old punk rock girl just hit on him while he was being held captive by NASA.
Yeah.
So, and now an alien who later on went on to masturbate in a public theater is telling him that he's in charge of maintaining all of these intergalactic species' lives.
Is that why people call him a creep? Is that all he did?
That's all he did.
I'm not saying... An adult theater?
Yeah, it was an adult
theater. Yeah, it wasn't like they were showing a Disney movie.
Oh my God. God, who cares? That is, I mean,
And he's a cool guy.
He was a children's television personality.
Right.
So. You know.
It's like when Blue's Clues host was replaced by his cousin or something. Right. So he got in some sort of trouble.
No, Steve, he was starting to go bald and he didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, I can see
and
that.
And he became a musician and like he worked with Wayne from the Flaming Lips and.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a better career.
Yeah.
Now I'm just over here obsessing, like, who are my 80s crushes? I literally can't think of anyone.
Well, we can come back to it.
It wasn't Matthew Broderick, I know that.
But honestly, the only time I've ever liked Matthew Broderick was War Games. The only time. So that was my best chance of crushing on him.
What about Project X when he worked with chimps?
Don't care for him. I really don't. And I have this theory that Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick are like the most equally paired celebrities of all time. Because they both had their moments. Him in the 80s, her in the 90s.
Right.
They both were high profile at a point, but they're not A-list celebrities.
No.
And a lot of people fucking hate them.
They're very highly overrated. Both of them are. I love Matthew Broderick for the things that I love him for.
Compliance.
Ferris Bueller's Day
Compliance.
Off. Compliance. I will comply.
You can
to that.
Take a bite of a churro now. I'll allow that. But listeners have to drink. So it's changed shape for the first time. It's now it looks like the spaceship from the Atari game Defender, which is a reference I know a lot of people are probably not going to get, but I played that game quite a bit.
So it goes from Journey Escape to Defender as far as
it was Journey Frontiers.
Well, the video the Atari game was Journey Escape.
That's true. And that was a different album.
Exact same ship.
What is a Tramaxion? That's a weight loss drug. Side effects include diarrhea and bulging eyes and
it's dysentery.
Oh, okay. Forgetting your firstborn. Only the firstborn, though. That's what's really weird. Like, you acknowledge the rest of your children. It's just the firstborn. You're like, who are you? It's just like this movie. Maybe that's what... Compliance. Oh, we're going underwater. And he recoils. But that seemed like a pretty smooth transition.
I don't know. You hit water at that speed, there's going to be some resistance.
But it's got that needle nose.
Yeah.
He means peeing. Oh, cool.
Aliens.
Yeah, this is the cantina scene.
Yeah, the 80s were obsessed with little animals and animatronic species.
Little aliens.
And, yeah.
And, you know, they all look like practical effects, puppets.
All look like Jim Henson ripoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Janice.
Particularly Janice.
From the, you know, Dr. Teeth and the...
It's Janice meets Audrey, too.
Yeah.
So
that's Terry from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Skin. It is.
That's
a cold.
He's all mucusy.
Poor thing.
Don't get too close, David. They're hungry. He's going to eat his hat.
He's like, they're hungry. Like, don't you get too close. I'm starving them all while they're in my possession.
Burp. For the kids. Because, you know, bodily functions
this
are...
This bothered me. This little
the eyeball
thing. That it says I-A-A-I.
That's a Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of thing.
It definitely is.
It's pretty weird.
Where's Jombie? Oh, and here's the weird alien kinkajou type thing.
This cute little guy.
And he scats.
Voiced by Steven Tyler.
Can I hold him? Just keep him quiet. I'm
concentrating. I'm sorry. Once I was done with all my expository dialogue about the aliens, in the last 2 seconds, I've been concentrating.
Sarah calling him out on the exposition. He does not know he's destroyed by a comet.
Well, he does now.
I don't understand English. I'm blissfully unaware.
This movie has everything for kids.
It does.
It's a great movie.
I like how it was clearly a little practical finger puppet.
Yeah. Mild terror, aliens, little tiny cute creatures.
Well,
at time least displacement.
At least David got to finger something in this movie. Oh. Hey-o, those are the kind of jokes you get an hour into this movie. Well, I poured that a little vigorously.
oh, no.
That'll have to sit for a little bit.
I hate beer foam.
It's just got plenty of head now. It's
exactly.
It brings out the flavor.
I was so proud of my inappropriate joke that I wasn't pouring down the side of the glass.
Which one is that?
That is the SKB IPA. And now what we have is the Fathom IPA from Ballast Point. They're out of SoCal, I believe. San Diego. Which is Spanish for whale's vagina. And it is 6.0% by volume. So feel free to enjoy some of that if you have exhausted the red line. But
there's still be a little bit
there's
left.
There's still a little bit I'm left there.
The red line. Which I'm
hey, it's quite Florida.
Enjoying. Me too.
Oh, they're still underwater.
It was clearly a model.
This is this. Oh, the seat just disappeared. Dude, you're 8 years younger than you actually are. Who cares at this point?
Dude, your brain's gonna get so fried.
Just lie down. It won't hurt.
That's all it takes for Paul Reubens' voice to change. So did
this?
You have,
this is where you would pick up. That's Paul Reubens.
Yeah, this
you
is
wouldn't
where
before the voice. Really, but once that laugh,
what's the?
Yeah, that is unmistakably Paul Reubens.
So what was the reason behind Pall Mall? Was there a legal issue, or was it just he's having a good time?
It literally is.
Hey, well, if you're so perfect, what are you still doing here?
It said it was his idea that he thought it would just be cool to not
to let his name have it be a reveal once you hear that voice.
Yeah. Cuz I mean there is a bit of a history, you know, voice work. It's easy to be like, oh yeah, we just got somebody that sounds like him.
True, yeah.
Like Michael Jackson on The Simpsons. Right. They denied that for years.
Yeah.
And to the point where I actually bought into it because it's like, yeah, it's Michael Jackson. They're like, oh no, it's credited to this person. And then I read an unauthorized history of The Simpsons. They're like, no, it totally was Michael Jackson.
Right.
We just couldn't say it was. He co-wrote the Do the Bartman song and was working with The Simpsons. And it's like, okay, well, that's cool, you know. But it's
weird.
It's
all wrapped up in legality.
Exactly.
And who's contracted to sign who for what project. And so they have to under fake names once in a while.
He is free-falling faster than Tom Petty.
I want you to turn on all engines now! That's an order!
Compliance!
Oh, now you're a navigator!
Just say it.
I think this is where he's being resistant.
He is.
We're getting resistance.
I'm
going to
drink
compliance.
Anyway.
Come on, one of these has to start it.
So what, they put a tracking device on this thing?
Star Trek reference.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
Which button plays the Beach Boys?
You hacky puck, it's right under your nose.
Poor guy.
he smashed the puck-a-murin. Right by your balls. Whoa. So where are they now? Alps, yeah, Himalayas, like, what? Andes. They were in an ocean. Now they're in a mountain range.
Yeah, I know they make it to Tokyo eventually.
I remember that part. It made me want to go to Japan, you know? I was like,
oh, here 8 we go. Years old,
and I was like, well, that's on my list of places to travel
the
to.
The cool hand pedals.
Oh, yeah, those are actually, they actually really are cool.
Reminds me of the flying in Galaxy Quest.
Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, and Alan Rickman.
One of the best Star Trek movies of all time, although right. Not an actual Star Trek movie. You get yours. Oh, the thread.
Sarcasm from an alien robot.
What
does
it say about this character that this is the voice that's like most familiar and pleasing to him?
He's got a hot date
with Jennifer Bradley.
Well, forget Jennifer Bradley. He's got Sarcasm. College girls interested now.
McAdams.
Oh, look at that. Look at that phone.
Oof.
It's the stereotypical 80s cell phone. Oh, she's concerned about her future lover. Oh, she's meeting the family.
She only has to wait 10 years for him to come.
She's meeting the family for the first time. This is so romantic, guys.
And this brother clearly has a thing for her.
Oh, yeah. By thing, you mean boner.
I see it now. You're right. That's the kid from Teen Wolf.
Yeah. He's like, damn it. Why does Davey get her? I get the dog. Boof doesn't even want to talk to me.
Boof.
Who's she looking at?
The camera, apparently. Way to go, Sarah Jessica Parker.
She did it twice.
All right, those are some great special effects for 1985.
For the time. Because you have the reflection on the underside.
It's beautiful. It's getting dark. And the music is magical. No, it's
locked! Oop, that's a little Star Wars screen wipe. Makes sense in the movie from 86. Did not make sense in Shape of Water.
Oh, here you go. Ni hao. Oh, wait, that's Chinese.
It is.
Aw. Konnichiwa.
There you go.
Can you take us back up?
Yeah, I knew that. I knew this was Tokyo.
So, Shape of Water, not fans? I saw it in the theater.
I cared for it not.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was awful. Yeah. I gotta be
awful.
Honest.
Thought
it was seriously Golden Razzie worthy.
I did not think it was that bad.
What's wow, what a script.
It wasn't my pick for Best Picture.
Yeah.
It was
but
my pick for... I don't get why it was
nominated. I did like it, but... Mm-hmm. It was quirky. I didn't expect it to get nearly the attention that it did.
Yeah.
I was more a Three Billboards fan. Mm-hmm. That's what I had picked. I knew it was kind of an underdog. I was pleased that Jordan Peele got Best Screenplay.
I was really happy.
Because Get Out is fantastic, but yeah. I didn't think it had a shot. And when he got the award, I'm like, I don't even care that
I'm glad
didn't
it
get
got
this song.
It kind of got Pulp Fictioned, where it was like, it got Best Screenplay. It's like, all right, that's good enough.
I was talking to my friend. I'm like, this is really cool that this happened. He's like, that dude was on Mad TV, and look at him now.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, exactly.
That movie was amazing.
Yeah, Get Out I was extremely happy with. Lady Bird I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I liked Darkest Hour a lot.
I only thought Oldman was going to win the award for Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
It was worth seeing, but I thought his performance was about the only award-worthy, contender that there was, and he finally got it.
I liked the cinematography for it a lot. I thought it was very well lit, and the composition, and just all the decisions made, cinematography-wise, I liked.
So...
Okay.
What?
His star charts don't include Southern Florida.
What do you think happens to those people after this?
They drive to Las Vegas.
Were those geeks...
Those were geeks? I don't think so. I don't know if they knew what they were. They were kind of preppy, but kind of hippie, but kind of new age, but none of the above.
Oh, here we go. It's the big musical number.
Oh, yeah.
Brings it back.
That sounds like an Oingo Boingo song. Not a fan of Bossa Nova music.
No.
Oh, there we go.
Sarah's not a fan of Beach Boys music, apparently.
Now, I got to see Brian Wilson's band perform Pet Sounds
okay.
in its entirety when they were at the Civic Center recently. Pet Sounds, one of my... Oh, you can see the strings on his arms.
Yeah.
Pet Sounds, one of my top albums. And it's a good thing he has a really competent backing band, because Brian Wilson has lost it a long time ago. Al Jardine was on the tour, so there were two Beach Boys. Fuck Mike Love, he wasn't involved. Dennis Wilson's dead.
Yeah.
So and so is Carl. I believe Carl's dead at this point, too. So, I mean, there's only three alive. Two were on this tour. So, in my mind, that's close enough.
Yeah.
But Brian, it was awkward to watch him be on stage at times, but I love that album.
But you still got to see it. And that's the important
thing. And what's great is Al Jardine's kid takes Brian's lead vocals on a lot of the songs. He's part of the band. So it's like they're still keeping it in the family. But he's singing the high falsetto parts that Brian couldn't hit for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, if you close your eyes, you know.
If you squint your ears a little bit.
You're hearing it. But, you know, they did like the greatest hits. And then they did Pet Sounds in its entirety. And that was my birthday present from my parents, was they got me a ticket to go see that. And it was cool to be able to cross that off, you know, and I'll just listen to it on CD or vinyl from here. Oh, we got a gator farm.
This guy looks familiar. What have I seen him
in? Yeah, he's one of the twins that the Guinness World Records always showed riding motorcycles.
Okay.
No, not
really. Oh, there's a great line. Too many Twinkies. Yeah, he looks super familiar, but
it's a payphone.
What are those?
It's a minivan. What are these people doing?
Old school Plymouth.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Is that the guy from Laser Blaster?
Laser Blaster. Oh, she's wearing an Epcot Center shirt, by the way. Just want to point that out. So we're talking about the hillbilly here, correct?
Yeah, it's the guy with the Mork and Mindy outfit.
Mork and Mindy. Let's see what his billing is in the cast. I'm gonna look towards the bottom.
All right, that guy's super familiar too.
Gas station attendant. Wow. He has a porn name, but a really horrible one.
Okay.
Any guesses?
12-inch burrito?
No. Sarah, do you have a guess as to that gentleman's name?
Oh, God, I don't even want to know. It's going to gross me out.
His name is Rusty Pouch.
Ew!
Ouch.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, that's...
Ouch. You'll get the ouch from Rusty Pouch.
Oh, my God. Oof. His name is Rusty Pouch. I should have just known that looking at him. I don't know how I didn't get that.
He looks like a Rusty Pouch.
He only has been an actor in three things, two of which he has played a gas station attendant.
No.
He has a thing, and it's looking like somebody works at a gas station that stares blankly. He was the gas station attendant in this. He was a gas station attendant in Clinton and Nadine, which was a TV movie that starred Andy Garcia from 1988. And then he followed that up 4 years later by playing a lab tech bailiff. Those are two different things. in the TV show Swamp Thing, okay. Which I own on DVD.
Yeah. Well, clearly that's what I've seen him in.
Aside from that, he's more of a behind-the-camera guy. They've just put him on screen, apparently, a few times. You may be more familiar with his work behind the screen. He's an electrician on Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise. He was a rigging electrician on From Justin to Kelly. Dexter, he was a gaffer for an episode.
Okay.
He was a gaffer for an episode on The Sopranos. And The Glades, which apparently is a TV series from 2010 to 2013, he was the chief lighting technician for 46 episodes.
Dude, good for him for staying in the industry for so long.
Most recently, Moonlight, a very acclaimed movie. He was the rigging gaffer. And Ballers, the HBO series with The Rock, he was the rigging gaffer. So, you know, Rusty Pouch.
Rusty Pouch.
He'll do his thing, but it's usually behind the camera.
Yeah. That's the worst name ever.
Rusty Pouch. Sounds like something said about Lucille Bluth. Some double entendre from one of her children.
Who's going to go into that musty old claptrap?
Yeah, exactly.
The Cabin, right.
Yeah.
Oh, we actually, this is the second Arrested Development reference in the past week. When we recorded our first episode, it comes out next week, of Ernest? The Importance of Seeing Ernest. Featuring our good friends Jason the Bottle Cap Kid and Derek. We watched the commercials from the Ernest Film Festival. There's one where he is in the shower and he is still wearing his denim vest. And I made the proclamation that Ernest is the founder of the Never Nude movement, which Tobias later became a disciple of. That Ernest is the original Never Nude.
The first Never Nudist.
He is the first Never Nude. Oh, way to fuck it up there.
So Sarah and I talked about getting some bottle rockets and some sparklers and firecrackers and fireworks.
And this is what you thought of, like how it could go wrong.
We're big themers. So we were like, would we eat anything in the show that we could... And Joe was like, well, they referenced Twinkies. And I was like, fuck that.
Yeah. We got Oreo churros.
We have Oreo churros, which are far better than Twinkies.
Those were amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, we couldn't think of anything to eat or drink that was necessarily themed in this movie.
I was like, well, we could swing somewhere and pick up some sparklers to celebrate the end of the movie.
Oh.
Bennett
there
Bank?
We go.
I've never heard of it.
Did you say Bennett Bank?
I work for a bank. Never heard of it. Maybe we bought them out.
I'm guessing the number
they're
of banks
in, Florida.
In the 80s versus now
yeah,
is
that's,
like...
that's true.
6,000
yeah.
to 1.
Yeah. The bank I work for, we are in Florida. So it's highly likely. I'm not sure of our proximity in the Fort Lauderdale area.
You probably own that building.
Though. It's possible. My friends are all 20. I'm only 12.
That sounds like a great life.
Yeah.
I wish all my friends were 20 when I was 12.
You know what I want to rewatch?
You can buy me beer soon.
Big.
Yeah.
Big is on the list.
Is it?
All right.
It is. I think we just booked our next appearance for the two of you.
And because we're themers, we'll bring a big bottle of something to
yeah,
drink
right.
while we watch.
Or you're just going to bring
a piano that covers the entire floor.
Yeah. Piano keyboard.
And a trampoline.
From F.A.O. Schwartz. And Elizabeth Perkins.
And a loft of
I don't think she's doing much. Weeds is done.
She was
done.
In Weeds. So,
Weeds
I
is
mean,
done.
She had her call her second coming.
Yeah. Just like Christ.
Elizabeth Perkins.
So what I'm hearing is Elizabeth Perkins... is our Messiah. God help us all.
I mean, she got to play live action.
So this is...
what's her name? Vilma Flintstone.
Oh, so. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So this is kind of Close Encounters-ish. We got, like, the... staring into the lighted spaceship with the wind blowing the hair. At least that's what I think
The music from Close Encounters, practically. Although this is a much smaller ship.
A bit.
Don't call me Roger.
Do it, Davey.
But you're my friend, Max.
I told you, the kid had an existential crisis before this even happened. He was like, I don't know what to do with my life.
It was foreshadowing.
It was.
Letting us know what
he's like, decision he's going
to make. Because this is tough.
I don't fit in with people anymore.
This tore me apart. I was like, man, that poor family. Oh, they got to know him again for a few days.
Hashtag real talk.
Gone.
Here we go. Hashtag real talk on Drunk at the Movies. It doesn't happen often. How much do you actually talk to your family now as somebody in their 30s compared to how much you talk to your friends and people that you have brought into your circle since you've become an adult? I will be honest, my parents live 2 blocks away from here. I know I can see them whenever I want, but I will text and check in with them at the most once a week. Whereas friends, I will talk to super frequently. My sister and I, we rarely hang out anymore. We just, as we've grown older, our interests separated. And she's got her life, and I've got mine, and yeah, I have a family and all that kind of stuff. So time with family isn't as prevalent as it used to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that is... Because some people, I mean, they literally still... We do family dinners on Sundays, and, you know, we still are a close-knit group. I literally could walk to my parents' house anytime I want, but it's still... It's no different than if I live 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not exactly family dinners every Sunday, but okay. My immediate family that's still in the area pretty much comes up with any excuse
to get together.
For us to get together.
Do you do game night?
It's like that. We do game nights.
What games do you play?
We do
Cards Against Humanity, or that's probably too risque.
I wouldn't take that to my family personally.
Okay. We did that once with my family.
My family's,
I could see that.
My family's too dirty and they like to drink, so that could go downhill.
Gotcha. Okay.
Real fucking fast. I just don't want to go there.
Oh, he's back.
Ah.
Weird. Hmm.
He said his goodbye to Max.
The train just went by, and he's like, here I am again. Where are you, Sarah Jessica Parker? I'm gonna run to you. That's an 80s reference.
So
I'm trying to figure out if she's 18, then she would be like 10. She should go find her. He really should.
Maybe she's in the neighborhood.
He should go find her.
Wait a minute. What if she is Jennifer Bradley?
What was her name?
Just didn't even recognize her.
What was her name?
I don't know.
Did we ever find out?
I don't know.
Shit, I'm going to have to consult IMDb.
I think we did.
That would be awesome if that's
names.
That's how it should be.
We have
I mean, I am
no, damn it. Her name was Carolyn.
You're right.
That's right, Carolyn.
Let's write a sequel to this movie.
Yeah, because Carolyn should... That's what all these time travel movies are. You go back in time and you're like, oh, you're my one true love.
It turns out that Max actually ruined the entire primetime universe of this movie
right.
by introducing him later in life to Carolyn.
He also goes on to film the first music video ever made. Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles.
He wrote What If God Was One of Us.
Yes, Joan Osborne. Davey Osborne. That was the guy from Cloak and Dagger. They're both named Davey.
It came back. Henry Thomas and what's his kid's name?
I feel like when I'm a criminal. Parent and my kid randomly says, Mom, I love you, I'm going to be like, did you just time travel for 8 years?
Right. Bruiser, you're still alive. I didn't even ask about you. I just assumed you were dead. Hey, what's up, butthead?
Skuzz Bucket.
This little kid is so cute.
You mad at me, bro?
What's up, turd? Oh, what is that? He's got the weird puppet thing. And the David Bowie dog.
Like how the background
he's got the eyes.
Yeah, the partial albino ocular thing.
Huh. I'll kill you in your sleep.
No.
So we're just gonna, we're gonna take our boat out. The Ski Supreme! Gotta
take out the Ski Supreme.
Ski Supreme! We're in Florida. There's nobody skiing in Florida.
Yeah.
Why would you call your boat the Ski Supreme?
Oh!
Yeah.
They're all laughing.
Okay.
I guess the one got over its cold.
Yeah.
And there you go. It's all a happy ending.
It really is a fantastic movie. I gotta say.
It's all a dream. Paul Mall, second credit there, voice of Max.
Suddenly want a cigarette.
Yeah. And Matt Adler is the guy from Teen Wolf. And I want to see if they've got the gas station guy down here. He's coming up.
Rusty Pouch.
Cheers to Rusty Pouch.
Now, eventually, in these ending credits, my dad's name is here. Jack Bennett shows up. Eventually.
What did he do?
I cannot remember. He was some kind of grip, I think.
Oh, we got Urban Tony as one of the puppeteers there.
Tim Blaney, that sounds familiar. Is he a well-known puppeteer?
Randall Badger.
Of some sort?
Yeah. So
puppeteers had their day in the 80s, huh?
Yeah.
It was a magical time. Well, Seth, Sarah, thank you very much for joining me here on the couch. For Flight of the Navigator, as I told you before we started, I have not sat down and watched this in quite some time. It was nice to go. What kind of name is Desi Markovsky?
How does it hold up in your memory? Is it as good or better?
You know what? It's pretty much as I remembered. It's always funny to talk about the absurdity of plot points. I think this one...
Jack Bennett, special effects
there
supervisor.
There you go.
There he is. That's my dad.
This is...
Not really, but, you know,
I think I could show this to the family without nearly as much explanation as if I made him watch Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, you have to explain why you like Cloak and Dagger as a child.
This can still hold up. Can still be enjoyed. It's... In some ways, a little dated. There's the Norway unit.
It's kind of like intro to sci-fi time travel film.
Yeah, totally.
It's a great way to introduce your kids to a science fiction.
Yeah.
Time travel film.
Baby steps. So, we hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about everything that we talked about. Aerial footage was provided by Gyrosphere. That just makes me think of a very circular sandwich. But I digress. So anyways, this is The Voice signing off, saying you don't have to be drunk to enjoy these movies, but it doesn't hurt. We'll see you next time.